episode 84, S.H.I.E.L.D. Comic Report, as we talk about issue number 3 of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., along with Ant-Man and Operation Sin, featuring Agent Carter.
Welcome to Level 7, a podcast about Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and the Marvel Cinematic Universe. It's a magical place.
Hello and welcome to Level 7. I am Ben Avery. I am a comic book fan, a comic book writer, and a comic book reader. And that is why I am here right now to talk about comic books. That's right. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. comes from comic books. And we are returning to its roots by once again discussing the Marvel Cinematic Universe related comic books, specifically Ant-Man Prelude, Operation Sin, and the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. comic book that takes place in the 616 universe. I have been joined by my friend, and maybe even yours,
Dandy Daniel Butcher.
There we go. How you doing, Dandy?
Well, less tense this night. I mean, we found a good night for us to record so that I could have my tension decrease. So, Tuesday was rough.
And we are recording on Tuesday.
We
record basically the Tuesday after Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was released on the previous Wednesday. This means that we are recording about Ant-Man Prelude number 1, but Ant-Man Prelude number 2 comes out tomorrow morning, Daniel.
Yep, after this episode will go live.
Yeah, because this episode goes live on Sunday. So we're going to have to wait another month to talk about Ant-Man Prelude number 2, but I like this format. I like the way we're doing this, where we release the Sunday comic episode once a month and just tackle all of the things that came out between episodes that have to do with the MCU. And in this case, it means two comics that take place in the regular Marvel Comics universe and one comic that takes place as canon in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So,
I guess that seal on the front does mean it's canon, doesn't it?
It's a Marvel Cinematic Universe official tie-in. And yeah, that makes it canon. That makes it something that actually fits into our show, fits into the show that we were watching for the last 2 months, Agent Carter, fits into the Ant-Man movie that is coming to us later on this year. And the idea behind this book is to give them a graphic novel to release when the movie comes out.
A very short graphic novel, probably under $9.
It'll probably have this issue, issue number 2, and probably the famous cover issue of Ant-Man where he's got like the nail and the guy is about to step on that nail. That I just look at that and think, oh, that is painful.
You don't think they do like a Scott Lang origin issue?
That is the Scott Lang origin issue.
Okay. Yeah. Well, there you go.
Yeah. But Scott Lang.
But isn't about Scott Lang.
No, it is not. This is not about Scott Lang at all. In fact.
So let's settle down for a minute. You're going fast. I want to throw out a caveat. Now, if we were discussing Agent Carter, an MCU movie, or Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., we'd spoil everything.
True.
We're not going to spoil everything today.
We are going to do our best to not spoil really anything as much as possible.
Because we believe that there's a good chance that you may not have picked up one of these yet, and you don't want to be spoiled. Or you might be inspired, as we talk, to pick up one of these. And again, we don't want to spoil you.
So what we're going to do is we're going to talk a little bit about the plot, a little bit about the art, a little bit about the book itself, but not too much about resolution or anything like that. Although Ant-Man number 1 here that I'm holding in my hands ends in a cliffhanger. So there's not really much resolution. But then we're also going to say if we recommend it or not. And that recommendation might be based on a few different things. So I think, well, what do you think? Should we just jump right into it?
Jump in to explain okay. Ant-Man Prelude number 1.
Ant-Man Prelude number 1 is about Hank Pym. and it takes
place.
I know. It's not about Scott Lang. Scott Lang is, well, Hank Pym is Michael Douglas in the previews that you've seen for the Ant-Man movie. Scott Lang is that other guy who I don't know his name.
I totally almost always know his name. He's in Clueless.
Yeah, he's all over the place. Why can't I think of his name right now?
This is 40. The Anchorman movies, which I haven't really watched. I
just watched Anchorman 2 yesterday.
Oh, my Lord. Oh, I can always say his name except for right now.
Well, anyway, like he is the main character of the movie as far as, like, he's going to have the most screen time. The preview trailer shows us a little bit of his arc, where he's coming from with a sick kid or something like that. But this is about a younger Hank Pym than the Michael Douglas that we see in the trailer. This is him as a young scientist, and he has created the shrinking technology, and S.H.I.E.L.D. basically wants to use that shrinking technology, and he doesn't want them to. Well, what do they want it for? They have a mission that's behind enemy lines, basically behind the wall that divides east and west Germany, north and south Germany. What?
Wow.
North Korea and South Korea is in the news right now, so I'm going to use that as my excuse. But they basically need to go across the wall and perform a mission. And so how are they going to do that? Well, they use the shrinking technology. He doesn't want them to use it, but someone comes along who is ready to help and to pull him in. He wants to use the suit. If they're gonna take the suit, he wants to be the one who goes. But and so Peggy Carter comes, and she's gonna help prep him and get him ready to go. And so we have a nice scene with her. She is looking older. Not as old as she is in Winter Soldier, obviously, since this takes place in the past of that. But she looks a lot older than she does in the TV series. But it was nice. It was nice to see her come in.
When I look at her intro,
mm-hmm.
I don't think she's got a wedding ring on.
I do not see a wedding ring on either hand. No. It's interesting, though, because the way they introduce her, on one page, she speaks. You turn the page. Classic comical kind of thing. Have a character speak that you don't know who it is. You turn the page and you see them. But what happens when you're reading the comic book? This won't be in the graphic novel, but when you're reading the comic book, you turn the page and it's an ad for Agent Carter. And she's there with the red hat on. She's pointing her gun. And
Peggy faces Peggy.
Yeah, and then the next page over is where you get that Peggy reveal. But yeah, so overall, though, I liked the story. I'm curious what's going to happen next. I would never have picked this up if it wasn't tied into the MCU. Even as much as I enjoyed Ant-Man issue number one as a single story, I would have just passed over it. But since it's part of the MCU, I can't pass it over. I'm a completionist. I have to complete my collection.
You remember when we didn't pick these up?
I do. I do remember when we didn't pick these up. So is this worth reading? In my opinion, I say, yeah, it's a good enough story. It's part of the MCU. And unlike other Prelude comics, this one feels like it's actually telling a unique story that I don't think this is any setup for the movie other than, hey, here's a character from the movie having an adventure when he was younger.
Well, and I do think it is giving, for some viewers, Marvel the ability to tell the story of Hank Pym without having to recount everything in the movie.
Exactly.
We know Hank's a character in there. And this is a way for him to be tied to S.H.I.E.L.D., to be tied to a popular character without them having to do a ton of heavy lifting about Hank, because they're going to have to do a lot more heavy lifting about Lang.
I totally agree. And but so do you think it's worth reading?
I'd borrow it from the library. I mean, I give them props for the death strip that's in East Berlin being accurately depicted. I really like the Big Thunder Mountain ad. I'm excited about the Big Thunder Mountain Railroad comic from Disney Kingdoms. I'll be honest, I found this whole comic a little sparse.
It is. It's the first half of a story. It ends on a cliffhanger. The cliffhanger, we aren't even into the actual mission itself. I mean, I have a feeling that this is going to be the kind of thing where next issue, the cliffhanger that we had in this issue will be resolved in the first two pages, and then you'll get that Ant-Man mission. And so basically you have the Peggy Carter.
Slow down there, buddy. This is an Operation Sin.
Oh, man. Okay. Well, we'll get to Operation Sin in just a moment here. But, when it comes right down to it, I think this will be a nice little graphic novel to pick up and read at Barnes & Noble, you know, or get from the library. If you're a completionist, you want the full story, I would get it. Buy it. But wait for the graphic novel, probably. So that's my thoughts there on Ant-Man and your thoughts there on Ant-Man. So I think it's time for us to turn it over to another Peggy Carter story, this one taking place in the comic book universe instead of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. What do you say, Daniel?
Well, Ben, it's Operation Sin number 2. It's 1952, and the cover promises us two things. A man will hit a bear, and Peggy will hit a man. One of those things will come true.
Will it?
One will come true. Won't say which one, but one does.
I think we're going to end up saying which one, Daniel.
Oh, we're totally going to wind up saying which one. Spoilers.
Spoilers, we're going to tell you which one happens and which one doesn't.
But not yet. So it's 1952 when we last left Peggy. A UFO was attacking Moscow. And then in a few pages, that situation resolves, which allows Peggy and her crew of Howard Stark and Woodward McCord and a Russian agent to go off into rural Russia to further investigate what happened with this UFO. And while they're there, a bear emerges in the village.
There is a bear. There is a bear.
And Woodward McCord, being the man's man that he is, takes on a bear.
Yep, he does. Kind of. Totally.
And then some cheats happen. And I will say that Woodward McCord definitely points a gun at a bear. And there is physical contact with a bear. But it's Peggy who hits a man, that's true.
Really?
No, yeah, she totally hits a man.
Where?
Towards the end of the book. Top left-hand corner, last page.
Oh, there it is, yep.
Yep, she hits a man.
There it is, because I was focused on the old lady who hits a man earlier on.
There's a lot of slapping in the 50s, a lot of punching.
But not much punching bears. I'm sorry, spoiler, but I look at this cover, I was promised a man to fighting a bear. Instead, I got a cheat.
Well, before I give you my feelings on this, Ben, I'll tell you, looking at the cover for issue number 3, we're promised a dance routine.
We are. We're promised a kick line. A kick line that consists of Peggy Carter, Howard Stark, that Russian agent you were talking about,
Woodward McCord,
and a bear.
The bear. That bear's going to get down, Ben.
Man, you know, I was given the promise of you have to fight the bear. And
when I read this, I put out on Facebook, for heaven's sakes, please someone punch a bear. Or I'd hear about it from you.
Yep. Man, I'm here. You're hearing about it right now. Do you want to know my verdict on this book?
Yeah, and then I'll give you mine.
My verdict on this book is, as a graphic novel, I bet it's going to work much, much, much better. I'm just not drawn in. I don't know who Woodward McCord is. I do know who Howard Stark is and who Agent Carter is. And I have to say, Howard Stark, he feels like Howard Stark in the...
from Agent Carter.
In Agent Carter, yeah. Or even from the first Avenger. But and it's nice to see Peggy doing stuff, but what doesn't work for me, or what doesn't make it connect more for me, is that this is not the Peggy Carter that I, you know, follow. This is the Peggy Carter from the comic books that, really, Peggy Carter to me in the comic books is just the aunt to Captain America's girlfriend in the 70s and 80s.
Who helped the French resistance a little bit.
She did, yeah. But
just a tad. A smidgen.
So.
And they still haven't resolved how she's not, you know, suffering from amnesia here in the 50s.
Well, I'm not worried about that. I don't know anything about that. That's the thing.
So here's where I'm at, Ben. I would continue to buy this because of the tie-in to Original Sin. Mm-hmm. I loved Original Sin. I've bought an Original Sin annual now. Now I'm getting Operation Sin. I actually found myself considering Original Sins, which I just read in trade, and most of them aren't that good except for number 5. There's a S.H.I.E.L.D. story in there that agents will want to read. It changes a lot if that story is true.
Is that the one you were telling me about?
Yeah. Okay. It's a good story. But so I'm the guy who knows Woodward and McCord and wants to know more about Woodward and McCord. And my problem is throughout this issue, Woodward McCord is more Thompson than I want him to be. And so we're still dealing with some of these issues about gender relations, and Peggy even – you could have put some of these lines in on Tuesday nights about, you know, not being noticed and how you can outsmart a man by just being – doing a few simple things because men are easy to frustrate. And so Woodward McCord is not as – he's not as big of a team player as I want him to be with Peggy. He doesn't seem to see the good things that he should see in Peggy. Again, he's just too much Thompson and not enough what I want Woodward McCord to be. And this is 4th outing in comic books.
Hmm.
I have every instance of Woodward McCord, and the Operation Sin just not working for me as much as like the Original Sin annual. Okay. And I think you're right. Probably going to be better in a trade, but we'll find out next month if that trend continues.
All right. Well, let's move on then. Shall we?
I have opinions.
Yeah, you said you had opinions. And
you're
going to
listen to
hear these opinions. Well, it's an interesting book that we're about to talk about now.
All right, here we go.
It's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. number 3. It's entitled Home Invasion. And basically, Coulson comes on a mission. And the mission is pretty simple. Thieves have broken into Stephen Strange's house. And so they bring in a villain to help them to get back into the house. Spider-Man and Coulson and the villain, Rasputin, who is a magic user, are going to use Rasputin's magic to get into Stephen Strange's house, which is locked magically.
This could be the best issue of Suicide Squad ever.
The thing is, Spider-Man has been brought in for his unique abilities. The question is, what unique ability is he brought in for? And when he finds out what it is, he feels a little betrayed. But Coulson knows Spider-Man's character, and that's another reason why he was brought. And that's a big Coulson moment. You know, I mean, that's Coulson through and through. The Coulson that we know and love is that guy, you know? It's that one. So, yeah. The mission goes, and we find out there's, you know, what's going on, who's in the house. The house is kind of crazy because it's Stephen Strange's house. And from there, then we, I don't want to give away the ending.
But we resolve it. It's another one and done,
mm-hmm.
which has been a nice trend, except we do get a glimmer of the bigger conspiracy going back to issue 1.
Yes.
But again, just 4 panels.
Yes, we definitely get the – it's done in 1, but with that mythology that kind of adds to it.
But not overdone.
Yeah. Yeah, I like it.
Can I rant now?
Yeah, go ahead.
Because you're going to say something positive about it. Least favorite episode of issue of S.H.I.E.L.D. so far. I was very disappointed with this. It took Mark Waid exactly 3 issues to write out Fitz, Simmons, and May. None of them appear.
What are you talking about writing them out, though?
They're not here.
Yeah, it's a Coulson and Spider-Man team up.
Yeah. There needs to be a room in this book on a consistent basis for Fitz, Simmons, or May. I don't need to see every one of them, every issue. But there's a bigger team than Coulson. I love Coulson. He's my favorite. But we got to work in Fitz, Simmons, or May. And it took them 3 issues. And here's my problem. We were promised with Secret Avengers that Coulson was going to be part of that team. And I watched him in Volume 2 get written out, basically, a lot of times. It's like, we don't know what to do with Coulson. And there's a certain point in this book where I feel like, I don't know what to do with his compatriots. I know we're not going to see Sky because Daisy's somewhere else. I got 3 characters other than Coulson that I want to see I want to see Coulson interact with them. They're not here. So I was very, very disappointed.
I'm sorry, man.
I mean, how cool would it have been to have Fitz or Simmons on this and having them have to deal with magic?
Well, then it wouldn't be a Coulson. I mean, you got to fit characters in here. This was a Coulson and Spider-Man working with a villain episode. And so Spider-Man and Coulson are having the back and forth, the interplay. You know, then you have the villain that's with them that kind of adds a different voice to what they have going on there.
Defending a writer colleague saying, you know, we got to make this story, you know, original and make it make sense.
Last issue was a Simmons episode.
Oh, yeah. No May, no Fitz.
Yeah, well, you can't. I mean, you can, I guess. You could shoehorn characters in. But this was about seeing Spider-Man work with Coulson.
But again, you could have Fitz or Simmons reacting to magic. You could have them in the house too and basically have them freaking out or doubting or character moments that have to do with their thoughts about magic. Instead, we get Spider-Man and Coulson.
Mm-hmm.
And Coulson's not the principal.
It's true. But that's what I like about it. I mean, honestly.
I'm not a Doctor Strange guy. So, I mean, for me, it was the Tuesday night team.
He's not in it.
I know. It's his house, though. It's his tone. Basically, the Tuesday night team is Coulson and his compatriots are what I want to see in this book, and they're not here. Coulson and Spider-Man, nice enough. I've seen tons of that. I've watched the first 2 seasons of Ultimate Spider-Man, Ben. I've seen it.
That's good for you, but I think that people who like that will like seeing this book. And I personally, who haven't watched – I mean, I've watched half of season 1 of Ultimate Spider-Man. Really enjoyed it. I didn't even think about Ultimate Spider-Man when I was reading this. I was just thinking, oh, this is kind of fun seeing Coulson with Spider-Man, team up with Spider-Man. And – getting the back and forth about Lola and getting the back and forth about, you know,
I like
why did
Lola.
You choose me for this mission? Why did you choose me? You chose me for
Now that right there, Lola, you could use that to take my criticism and attack me there and say, well, but Lola's a member of the team and Lola is name checked in here. It is Lola that exists.
Lola's not name checked in here. Lola is in here.
Yeah. Straight out said, you know, Lola,
mm-hmm.
And it's used. She's used, and someone touches her.
Yeah, I don't know what else to tell you other than I think that you're not giving this a chance because it's not what you wanted it to be. And instead of just taking it for what it is, and what is it? Marvel team up.
But Coulson as you know, man, I've been reviewing some Marvel team up. And I'm cool with Marvel team-up. But this doesn't say S.H.I.E.L.D. Marvel team-up.
Yeah, it's not. That's the intention of this book. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a team-up book. It's seeing the Marvel characters interact with Coulson and his maybe his team. Apparently, you know, issue two, we got some good interplay with the team. Issue one, you meet the team. I think that's the way it's going to work out. I think the next issue, which promises Invisible Woman, I think that next issue is going to be May and Coulson and Invisible Woman.
I'm fine with that. But you said you started with May.
Yeah, this is what I'm saying.
Get her off the bus.
Different every time.
I'm okay with different every time.
Well, obviously you're not, because this one was different and you weren't okay with that.
I'm just a little paranoid because I've seen what some writers have done with him before.
With
Coulson. And I feel like maybe I might be seeing this trend happen with the other three. I mean, how many issues before all of a sudden this is about Nick Fury Jr. and our friend Coulson's not even in the issue?
Well,
okay, I know that's not going to happen, but I'm a little paranoid about it.
Yeah, so did you enjoy this or not?
I'm not a magic guy. I thought it was fine.
But it's about two not magic guys dealing with all this crazy stuff. Like, they have to get through it. How do we get through it? And how do we deal with
it? I really like
having
Ms. Marvel issue better. I like the Asgardian number one better.
I know someone else who liked the Asgard issue better. Or not the Asgard issue, the Ms. Marvel issue better.
Okay.
Yeah. No, we have a clip to play.
Oh.
Should we roll the clip right now?
Let's go ahead and roll the clip.
All right, let's do it.
Good day, Agent.
Hi.
I've been tasked to visit you by Agent Fury. He has informed me that you have some information about a metahuman.
Mm-hmm.
That you have, in fact, pursued all the files on this metahuman, and you can fill me in on what I need to know.
I can.
And that metahuman is?
Ms. Marvel.
Now, who is this Ms. Marvel?
She, a.k.a., is Kamala Khan. She is a shapeshifter, and she idolizes Carol, the former Ms. Marvel, but she has taken her name and idolizes her.
So tell me, Agent, what do you like about this Ms. Marvel?
I like that she's quirky and geeky and real. She's like a new Peter Parker, but a bit more girly.
A bit more girly.
Well, yeah, more girly.
Does she have any quirks that we should be concerned with?
A lot of. Sometimes when her recent team up with Wolverine, she had a lot of quirkiness to, like, scream or, like, freak out. She freaked out for a little while, but I think she got a good handle on things in the end.
Interesting. And is this Wolverine, or as we like to call him here, Logan, him being an associate of S.H.I.E.L.D., what did he think of this Ms. Marvel?
I think that he was impressed with her. He actually liked her, which is hard. He is one hard to impress.
Interesting. Interesting, you say. So, do you believe that young people should be reading this Ms. Marvel comic files?
I do.
You do. Now, along with being an expert on Ms. Marvel, I believe that you've also spent some time recently looking into the latest case file codenamed S.H.I.E.L.D., put together by the Supreme Commander of Special Ops.
Yes, I have.
And who was featured prominently in that case?
Ms. Marvel was.
So I believe you also took the time to read that.
I did.
And what did you think of that file, being a Ms. Marvel fan?
I think that Gemma and Ms. Marvel have a lot more in common than most readers would think. They both have to hide from their parents about their second life, and it can be tough. They both get it. And Coulson wants Ms. Marvel to have time to be a kid, because she's still a teenager. And she's pretty much trying to hold the weight of the world on her shoulders.
Interesting. Interesting. So, agents in the field, if they run into Ms. Marvel, it seems that Agent Coulson has spent time with her. So, should we treat her as a threat in an attempt to incapacitate her, treat her as an ally, and allow her to team up, as the kids might say, with us, or should we send her packing back to school?
Team up with her. She is a good ally to have. She clearly knows her studies. And since she's a bit geeky, she knows what types of weaponry there is, and she knows, like, science things. She has game ops, and that's good for an ally. That's what you're looking for.
So when you say geeky, could you please explain that to us agents?
It means that she knows, she likes, the superhero world. She gets it. She does write fan fiction.
That seems a little extreme. Almost Agent Ben territory.
Oh my gosh, don't even go there.
True, true. We should not.
We shouldn't.
It would make that Ben a hot mess. Could you do me a favor, Agent?
Yes.
Could you repeat the following?
I will.
Agent Ben.
Agent Ben.
You're a hot mess.
You're a hot mess.
Thank you, Agent, for your time.
No problem.
So yeah, I'd say that's a pretty, pretty glowing review. Is glowing a good word?
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah.
So, or enlarging, that would seem to meet Ms. Marvel.
Yeah, yeah. So let's get back to number three here, and then we'll wrap up this episode. Daniel, what do you think about recommending this for purchasing?
Yes, go buy it now.
Wait, okay.
Well, Shield number two was at number 50 in sales.
Yeah.
Which actually is pretty good.
Yeah, it's not bad.
But if you're 10,000 less copies, you're Silver Surfer. You know what Silver Surfer is?
No.
On the bubble.
Oh.
Well, I mean, the only way we're going to have a Shield comic is if people buy it. So, yeah, go buy it. First two issues were great. Make sure to buy every issue. Never stop. Buy three copies.
So what you're saying is buy this book that you did not like at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, at least you're honest about your opinion.
It was fine. I've read worse things.
It was fun.
Leaps and bounds. But
it was fun.
We need to support this comic.
I don't believe in buying a book just to support it, though. Like, just on the case, on the off chance that you're buying it might help it not get canceled. I believe in recommending a book based on its merit. I enjoyed this, though. Spider-Man was fun. He was the character of Spider-Man that you would expect if you're familiar with Spider-Man. I don't know how well he fits into the current continuity of Spider-Man. It doesn't matter. You don't need to know who Spider-Man is in the current continuity. You just need to know who Spider-Man is in general, and you'll enjoy it. And again, this is, you know, you mentioned Doctor Strange. This is Doctor Strange's house. You don't have to know that much about him. All you have to know is he's a crazy magic guy, and he has a crazy magic house. And they're gonna go through that crazy magic
in
house.
A nice kitchen.
Yes. Yeah. So I also recommend it, but not for that same reason as Daniel. My reason for recommending it is not as selfish. Yeah.
I want that being selfish, we all benefit as long as there's an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. comic. We all benefit. And hey, Secret Avengers is coming to an end. And so that's our other S.H.I.E.L.D. book, and it's going to be gone soon. Two more months, and it's gone. Gone.
That's true.
No more cheese.
I do wonder, and this is, I think we can do one quick little side topic here, and then we can wrap it up. Secret Wars is coming out this summer. Secret Wars is supposedly going to rewrite the Marvel Universe. A lot of books are stopping when Secret Wars begins, and then there will be all these miniseries that take place in the Secret Wars battle world idea. And then when Secret Wars is done, they're kind of relaunching a reshaped Marvel Universe. Nobody knows what that means. Nobody knows what that's going to look like. I'm curious what it does for this book. I'm very curious. But for we won't know until it happens. But
nope, we don't know. They haven't announced.
So, are you, that said, Daniel, I'm going to say thank you for listening to everyone, and I think I'm just going to ask you if you have any words of wisdom or thoughts that you'd like to share with us.
Hey Ben, it's kind of late. I'm sitting here in the hub, and I'm just wondering, will you take me home in your flying car?
Thank you for listening to Welcome to Level 7. We'd love for you to join the conversation. You can leave us a voicemail at 1-77-55, the word level, and then the number 7. That's 1-775-553-8357. You can also like us on Facebook, facebook.com/welcometolevel7. 7 is spelled out. Follow us on Twitter, where we are level7pod. 7 is spelled out. Or email us directly, feedback@welcometolevel7.com. 7 is spelled out. Visit our website, welcometolevel7.com, for news, reviews, and links to our RSS feeds. Our theme music is The Light Fantastic by J.S. Earls, jserls.bandcamp.com. And again, thanks for listening. And hey, while you're here, Welcome to Level 7 is part of the Noodle Mix Network. Go to noodle.mx/podcast awards. And you can help vote for some of our fellow network podcasts in the podcast awards. And that's noodle.mx/podcast awards.
Thanks. So Ben,
thanks for supporting us. Yeah.
Ben,
You
and I could not be of more two different minds. And this is a scavenger hunt, this item right here for Comic Book Time Machine listeners. A bonus, but you got to find it, Comic Book Time Machine listeners. You and I could not be on further pages when it comes to John Carter number 6. I felt it was full of tension and reality and personality and tension. The whole egg scenario just completely had me on edge.
Yeah, that egg scenario was horrifying. It was horrific.
Yeah. So I mean, I understand that it stressed you out, but I thought it was very well written. Just saying. It was good. It was good.
I didn't say it was bad, did I?
And it even you're in the notes, you said, why is John Carter so bad?
Did I?
You did. And you were definitely down on it.
I was down
on it. Now, I think part of it is they retell the story a little bit of everything that's happened before on all these issues. But I thought John Carter 6 was fantastic.
Well, I'm high on John Carter. I mean, the whole series.
And you nitpick at the fact that they can see Tars Tarkas from the sky? Dude, these are Martians. Their eyes and our eyes are not the same.
It was really more about the convenience of the plot.
The human linking looking characters lay eggs.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
Uh-huh.
They lay eggs. The biology's not the same.
What's that have to do with anything?
I'm just saying that their eyes can be different than our eyes since their reproductive systems are different than our reproductive systems. We do not lay eggs.
It has nothing to do with eyes at all.
But I'm saying their eyes could be different because we know their reproductive system is different.
Okay. Daniel, it's convenience of plot. It's coincidence of plot.
It's world building.
You get Tars Tarkas out of the way and let him wander around the desert until someone flies overhead and happens to spot him, and it just happens to be the right people who need to spot him for the convenience of the plot. That's all I'm saying about that. There's a bunch of things in that issue. I shouldn't say a bunch. There's two things in that issue that were just a little bit too convenient of plot for me.
So, I think the biggest thing that I have a question with.
That I have a problem with. That's lazy writing.
the biggest thing that I have a question with is why would John Carter kidnap his own wife?
Well, obviously he didn't.
Yeah, but I mean, they keep saying he kidnapped her. They're married. I mean, maybe murdered her out of a fit of passion, but kidnapped really doesn't make a lot of sense.
Took her away as a pawn when he goes off as. I mean, they're framing him. You don't have to have a real reason until he goes to trial. He goes to trial, and that's when you bring up motive. He's being framed. That they don't need to have a.
Well, I'm just glad that I have been able to give a logical and accurate rebuttal to some of the things that you said in your latest episode that covered Star Wars number 5.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
John Carter number 6.
Yep.
Something called The Human Fly and The Deep.
Human Fly number 3, Godzilla number 4.
Which, hey, S.H.I.E.L.D. fans, Dum Dum and Gabe Jones in that.
All over the place. It's their
book.
I
totally should read that series.
Yeah. I think you'd dig it a little bit.
Not because of Godzilla, but because of Dum Dum.
Right. It's a Dum Dum book. I mean, it's basically Dum Dum Dugan's book. If Godzilla was not a movie hero and they were doing that book, it would be called Dum Dum Dugan, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. Following around a grippy giant lizard that no one knows, but...
I'd buy that. Yeah. That's my jam.
All right. Talk to you later, Daniel.
And that's what we call synergy. Boom.
Cowgirltimemachine.com.
Were you still recording?
Yeah.